Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn. And touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order. Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays. Doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/drinking bros. That is hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Life on the front lines requires you to step up your game.
Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax has designed just the right supplements for you and is offering Drinkin' Bros an exclusive offer. Buy one, get one free on your first order. Go to CardoMax.com and use promo code DB. That's CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. This is going to be a somber episode, Anthony.
Somber? Yeah. Maybe less somber and more angry, right?
It's one of those things that... This border crisis has been underreported, and the things we do know about it are sad, frankly. Right. But they're not getting any media attention. However, our buddy James Klug has been down at the border keeping an eye on things. It's weird that it's you and it's not AOC.
Yeah. Yeah, where's your picture? Where's your picture up against the fence? Like, it almost looks like Han Solo stuck in the carbonite. That's what you look like then.
You know, it's crazy. I was thinking about like, oh, James, what if you went and did like a shoot to mock her on that? And then I was thinking to myself, I'm like, no, because it's a serious situation and taking advantage of something for any situation just seems weird. Yeah. And she did that. Like she did that, but she was serious and right. She used them to further an agenda.
Yeah, and like look,
insane.
You get down in the stink of it. You get nasty. You're not afraid to get out there with the people, maybe even get punched sure. in the face occasionally. I know last time you were on the show, you were doing some Antifa stuff. Were you at the insurrection by any chance? Were you there as well?
Yeah, I was. I wasn't expecting it to turn out the way it did. But whenever I go to rallies or anything like that that's big, I know that there's going to be like officers, riot police there standing by. I bring gas masks with me in my backpack and everything like that. I bring all the gear just so I'm ready. But yeah, when that happened, I was actually caught off guard. But yeah, I was there for sure.
Why were you caught off guard?
I wasn't expecting that. I know that. I mean, obviously, the more information that came out, it seemed like it was pre-planned. But I didn't really hear about that. I had actually heard a rumor that something was going on, mm-hmm. maybe like a day before, but I never took anything seriously.
Yeah, we had Alex Jones on our Patreon. We have a Patreon now because, well, let's face it, YouTube is getting stricter and stricter against everybody for sure. Who has remotely conservative views. So we put our more, I don't know, dangerous episodes on there, if you want to say, on Drinking Bros Patreon. One of them was Alex Jones, who had just come back from the Capitol building, and he said the same thing. He said, look, I was not expecting any of that to happen whatsoever. What did you hear going into that, just out of curiosity? That was a rumor that you were like, oh, some people might do some things here. What was the rumor going around? Because he did not hear that.
You know, it's been a while now, and I only heard it vaguely. It's not like I had someone being like, oh, this is what's happening, and a bunch of people saying that. I think I heard something vaguely, like there was going to be, I forgot what it was, like a Occupy type of thing. But like I wasn't, you know, like we were thinking, okay, so Occupy, like you're not necessarily thinking something intense, maybe like a sit-in or whatever. I don't know. And I think that's all I heard at the time. I don't recall. I mean, it's been a little while, but I heard like a rumor about that. And then when that day came, actually, obviously, I'm in Elijah Schaefer's studio right here, please. Yeah. But Elijah had covered that they were breaching basically like the initial barriers. And this happened about 20 minutes before Trump finished his speech. And keep in mind, you know, the speech was probably about a 10-minute, 15-minute walk from the Capitol. So I had spent a lot of time in D.C. around that point, and I had saw the initial breach, and I was like panicking. I was like, what is going on? So I ran over there, basically. And I know everyone was caught off guard. We had Jorge Ventura that was out there. We had a bunch of people that were out there, and everyone was caught off guard. Nobody was ready for it. And, you know, of course, there were some people that were out there filming already, but most of us didn't go out because I've heard Trump speak. I didn't really, you know, I didn't really need to be covering that stuff like that. I wanted to kind of cover a little bit of the stuff that was happening throughout the day, throughout the evening, whatnot. And yeah, that ended up, it ended up catching a lot of people off guard.
Yeah, because we haven't chatted since, and I know you were there, obviously, and this kind of leads into the border crisis stuff that we're going to talk about today, because that received endless coverage, and is still, yep, to this day, the insurrection, the Trump people, all this other shit, right? Whereas this, the border crisis, has received zero coverage whatsoever. I'm just curious as to what the difference was from then to now, and what you've noticed as far as reporting has gone, because Dan and I did a fake news show earlier about the AP and how there's certain words you're not allowed to use when writing press articles now, yeah, and everything else.
Yeah.
It's just, they got rid of the word like crisis,
right?
Shit.
Or what was it?
Yeah.
They're not allowed
to use the word crisis. They're not allowed to, and they said because it doesn't fit the typical definition of a crisis. What the fuck does that mean? Like, what are they going to Merriam-Webster? Like, well, technically, who the fuck is high? It's a goddamn crisis, man. The other words are any kind of militaristic language, like surge or anything like that. Occupation.
Where were all these activist news outlets during publications when Democrats were saying that the United States had concentration camps?
Yeah.
When we had our detention facilities, yeah, concentration camps, quite literally belittling the evils and the very real terror that were concentration camps, mm-hmm, and concentration camps that technically still exist to this day. Right. China with their religious minorities, mm-hmm, and all that. You know, where was this type of, oh, technically it's not that. Now we actually do have a crisis. It's the numbers have skyrocketed, and the numbers have skyrocketed because we've chosen to loosen up and quite literally send the message of bring your unaccompanied children, yeah, bring your families, bring them all, because guess what? Not only are you not going to be deported, you're going to be given a plane ticket. You're going to be given some cash. You can go wherever you want. We probably won't even give you a court date right now, because we're so overwhelmed. There's a big difference between that and cracking down on immigration, therefore spiking caravans, stuff like that.
Mm. Yeah. And again, I hate to go back to the insurrection, but to me, that was the, yeah, date that it all changed. So after that, the media and everyone else on the left had their grand, that was the coup de grace right there. So no matter what happened after that, it was right's bad, we had the insurrection, this is what happens when you have Republicans, blah, 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 blah. It felt like the media changed after that. It felt like the tone of social media had changed after that, because Trump, you know, got banned from everything after that and everything else. And then it seemed like the stories that were being covered were almost, I mean, I hate to say in like a China, you know, communist way, but it is. It seems like the news articles that are going out into the world are kind of like, can you print that? Yep, go ahead. Like, it feels like somebody else is looking over it ever since that happened. And I don't understand why. Because this crisis that's going down at the border that you've been covering here is so massive, and it's been going on for multiple administrations. So it wasn't just Trump. It wasn't, you know, Biden now. It was also the Obama administration, which Biden was a part of. Clearly, we haven't solved this in numerous presidencies at this point. Why isn't this just a non-political issue? Let's try to help these people and try to figure out what's going on at the border.
Well, it used to not be a political issue. You know, it used to not be. The left used to believe in strong borders. They used to believe in America first. Back in, you know, we're talking years back. If you look at the Democratic platform of, let's say, like year 2000, it's unrecognizable. You know, this party has shifted. They've shifted, unfortunately, and it's sad because, yes, there are still a lot of kind of classical liberals. There are still a lot of maybe center left liberals, stuff like that. But the truth is, their administration, their elites, whatever you want to call them, pretty much they're making the direction of just going far left. I mean, there's nothing not far left about the current policy that we have right now. And it's so important for like listeners to understand this, because a lot of people just think, oh, well, you guys weren't pissed during 2019 when there's a rise in apprehensions. Of course, there was like caravans, everything like that. And now we care. No, it's not true. The right is always, or a lot of folks on the right, at least, me myself, I guess I can speak for, have always been talking about the conditions that encouraging people to send their children unaccompanied up to the border, the conditions that this creates is inhumane. I mean, you guys, like, I'm sure we'll jump into it in a second, but the children, the families, they get wristbands to track transit of, or sorry, payment transit, like for their transit and everything like that. Hopefully I didn't butcher that. So they get wristbands to track like where their payment is. And there's these green ones, says like Entras, excuse my Spanish.
Oh, it's great, James. But, it's almost as good as mine, Biblioteca.
Thank you, thank you. But they give them these green wristbands. This is the final payment. And what happens when they receive final payment? These people are looked at.
What do you
as,
mean by payment?
They're not looked at as humans.
Break this down by the bracelet color, what it means, and then what these payments are.
Yeah. What do you tell? What do you mean payment?
Who's paying them?
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. So basically, we're doing our best to kind of put together which bracelets are what. But one thing that we know for a fact, there's bracelets that mark little girls, just to make sure people aren't swapping. There's bracelets that mark like enter, which is when, like, your final bracelet when they're ready to take you across the Rio Grande River. And these bracelets, basically what these migrants do is they pay cartels, they pay human smugglers to get them across. And right now the going rate is around $3,000, according to Mexican intelligence, to get an average migrant across. Now that number skyrockets for Asians, that number skyrockets for Africans. And I mean, they're literally marking them like cattle and they treat them as such. And when they get that green wristband, I'm not sure if you guys saw that video recently, but there's that human smuggler throwing the 14-year-olds over the wall. I'm not sure if you guys saw that.
There was one last night where a guy's dropping a 3- and a 5-year-old basically on top of each other over the
wall. That's probably the one that it is. Yeah. And that's stuff that they do when they get that final payment. They get them to their final location, and it doesn't matter if, let's say, a child's making too much noise on a raft crossing the Rio Grande River. You know, they have that green bracelet. That's the final payment. They're going to get that smuggler caught because they're making too much noise. They'll throw them in the river.
The child,
absolutely, yeah. There's children that fall into the river. There's children, and they don't turn back from them, because keep in mind, this is a product. They don't look at them as a human being, and it's a nightmare down there. And the last thing you want to be doing is encouraging more and more of this, because what that does right now, these migrants are as profitable as drugs. Mm-hmm. They are literally as profitable as drugs.
But why?
These cartels.
Why? Who's paying the cartel to move them, and why?
So these the migrants are paying these smugglers because they know how to get them into the U.S. for a better life.
So I guess the next question is, where are these abjectly poor families coming up with $3,000? The latest number is $3,750, I think, is the latest one I've heard. Mm-hmm. Where are they getting that money? That's like a year's salary for somebody in Guatemala. That's not hyperbole.
I have no clue. When you ask them, we've asked them questions. I don't speak Spanish, of course, but I was with a bunch of Spanish speakers. And we're trying to ask these people questions. And a lot of them, I'm not saying that things aren't bad in Guatemala, Honduras, stuff like that. But a lot of them have a rehearsed kind of talk track, if you will.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
To increase their chances of applying for, you know, making it through the asylum process in the United States. So they just kind of give you the same answer, and they don't really answer the ones that you want to know the answers to. Like, we had one child that told us who gave him the entres, sorry for my Spanish.
No, it's fine.
Wristband. And he was like, yeah, a guy in Mexico just gave this to me. That's a human, you know, that's a smuggler
that gave
the child that.
Well, I can answer the money question where it's coming from. So I was referencing a doc on the last episode that I saw about this. A lot of these families are physically saving up money for the year or 2 years to get their children out of there for a better life, to get away from the cartel. And they're hiding it. So they're stashing it in different places in case they get their shakedowns and things like
for
that.
Sure.
And then, giving the children the money to do it.
There's no way that 22 to 25,000 Guatemalans a month are able to afford that. Not one chance.
I agree.
Not a chance. Now, people are also receiving money on the U.S. side, apparently, James, if I'm not mistaken. Or at least there's this $2,500 payment in an envelope. It's a manila envelope with a white piece of paper stapled to the front that says that they don't speak English. Please help them. Mm-hmm. That's what it says in the front. Where that there are some theories about where that money's coming from, but I would like to hear you explain more about that situation and then where you think the money might be coming
because
from.
What you're describing is almost like a spring break packet, right? Here's what you're getting. You're getting these bracelets. You're getting what you need to say, where to go, and all this
other
stuff.
If that's the case, if there's some outside entity or organization outside of the people themselves trying to facilitate this, they're doing it for a reason, and it's not in our best interest, right?
Yes.
So now it's not just a fucking economic issue or even a human rights issue. It's a national security issue.
And who's funding it?
You know what I mean? If you're trying to get one guy into the country or 10 guys to fucking jump on airplanes and fly a plane into a building, just throw them in with the crowd and see what happens, right?
Yeah.
As long as if you throw 1,000 dudes in that direction, look, there's 22,000 people, 22 to 25,000 expected a month. You throw 100 terrorists in with each one of those groups, maybe fucking most of them get caught. But if you get one each time, then you got a fucking squad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, quick note about that too. Like you know, in America, we claim to care about security, but we're allowing people to fly anywhere they want without an ID. We can't claim to care about COVID, but we pack these facilities 500% of capacity. It's like there's no consistent argument.
Let's get to the cash thing. Go ahead and answer that question, and then we'll move on to the flight shit because that's another fucking problem.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, so I think where we found that number from was. I started getting reports. I have a couple like sources that were in the area. They speak Spanish. So I had one of my Spanish speaking sources went on a flight in McAllen, Texas, was good getting on a flight. And this airport, by the way, I just flew out of McAllen this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So these airports are literally filled with these illegal immigrants that are receiving these packages. All of them are the same pretty much, but they have different locations. So on one side, they'll have the locations that they're flying to. And then on the other side, they have what you were talking about was, Dan, was the I don't speak Spanish. Please help me figure this out. So when my Spanish speaking source asked her, OK, so like what's going on? Like, where'd you get this? Mm-hmm. What'd you get? Blah, blah, blah. So they get clothes. They get money. And she claimed that she got $2,500. And when asked. Here's the thing. This is just one person. Keep this in mind. But when asked if it was a charity or a church that gave her the money, she said no. Now, we were talking about this earlier today. Even if it was a charity or a church, how on earth are they giving thousands of people $2,500?
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's one organization.
There's not that many people donated.
There's, well, Catholics, right? The Catholic Church can definitely afford that. But why would they, right? I mean, that's not really part of their MO, to be honest. They're more about moving pedophiles around and hiding that. So this money is coming from somewhere, certainly from some bad actor that has ill intent for the United States, correct? I mean, is there any question about that?
Yeah.
It's qui bono. Who benefits from this? And you can ask who benefits from it to see if it's circumstantial or if it's real.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's real because there's hard evidence of people actually getting funding for it, right?
Sure.
So it'll be interesting to find out if we ever do who's funding it. Now,
well, do you have any guesses of who is funding this?
I think it's a mixture of the United States government as well as the Catholic Church. That's what I put together right now. I think it's a mixture of the two.
Okay. Like they're probably. I mean, look, if the government's involved, they're using cutouts to do it. It's the same way we used to pay fucking Iranians for weapons back in the day and shit like that. It's the same way. That if we're in a low visibility operational environment now, you can't just walk up with a suitcase full of money or a pallet full of money.
Sure.
You know what I mean? You have to use cutouts. Usually the cutouts are fucking assholes, right?
Right.
They're drug dealers or fucking weapon smugglers, typically. It is what it is. My question is, I guess, do you think they're receiving that money before they cross the border or when they get here?
I think they're receiving the money right when they get out of the they get released from the detention facility.
So that means
that's what I think.
If the U.S. government is complicit in this in any way, that means they're very likely liaising with some kind of fucking organized crime element in southern United States to make that transition happen. There's no way they're not setting up FEMA camps and handing out fucking packets with $2,500 in it. There's something nefarious happening.
Yeah, and I can understand why the Catholic Church might be involved is because look. It's no secret, obviously, that
Latin America is very Catholic.
Yeah. Not only very Catholic, but
when I say Catholic Church,
Mexico.
Sorry, what were you saying?
Yeah, Mexico and South and Central America. There's a lot of Catholics there. You would be getting essentially a lifelong Catholic who's probably going to go to the church and then donate money and X, Y, and Z. for the other part of it, Dan, if you were talking about...
To wrap up what you just said right there, there's also the possibility if the Catholic Church is involved, they're doing it because it's a humanitarian crisis, and it is, right?
Yes.
There's some chance of that. That doesn't give them the right to subvert our laws, but there's a lot of stuff going on here. I don't want to fucking just denigrate somebody.
Absolutely.
The right thing.
Absolutely. And I didn't mean to say that.
For sure.
It just seems... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to clarify one thing too. I don't mean like the Catholic Church just as a whole. I think I think it is like local churches in McAllen, in the area that are assisting with
Now, that's
this.
A different story because where the fuck
that's,
are they
that's
coming
more
up with
of
that
what
kind
I
of
mean.
Money?
I don't mean like in general, but
right,
I do
yeah.
mean but the only thing is I don't know how a small church can afford that.
Yeah, I mean they can't if the government's giving them money, right? But to be honest, to be able to hide something like that, they're skimming budgets somewhere. Somebody will find that for sure, unless it's in a black of probes. And that's a whole other situation if they're doing that shit.
Yeah, and if the government is involved, it could be for two reasons that I can think of off the top of my head. One would be they don't want the bad PR, so they want to get these people out of here, so they're not lingering around the border. We're about to enter summertime. There's going to be a lot of people dying trying to cross in that heat and everything else.
It's going to get worse. Yeah,
it's only going to get worse.
The more nefarious option is that they want voters, right?
Correct.
I mean, that was
my second guess on this.
That seems like a wild accusation, but after they've threatened to pack the Supreme Court to give statehood to two more states, so they can get more Senate votes. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've literally threatened to do it already. So when somebody threatens to do something over and over, and then it happens, you have to assume they fucking did it, right?
The only thing is, though, I mean, thinking about it out loud.
Or you at least have to fucking give it some thought.
Yeah, but thinking about it out loud.
This is not some wild conspiracy theory.
I think it's crazy to assume that every Latino is going to vote Democrat because, as we saw in this last election, a lot of them voted Republican simply because they came from these countries and they were like, dude, I don't want to live in a country like that.
Yeah, do you really think Latin Catholic people are going to come up here and buy into the far left woke shit after what they've been through down there and all the socialist stuff? There's no fucking way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, James, what were you saying?
You guys, that's a really interesting point that you just brought up there, and I think you got to ask yourself the question: if Hispanic Americans were overwhelmingly voting Republican, they were conservatives. Which, by the way, culturally they are conservative people. Mm. That's why we have a lot of great people like Anthony Cabasa, one of my good buddies, that is making that move of trying to educate. Kind of, the Latino community, like, hey, listen, that group of people, you don't want anything to do with that. Here, you know, listen to freedom and folks on the right, listen to what they have to say. But I think you have to ask yourself, if they were to overwhelmingly vote Republican, would this be ended right now? Would that wall be finished tomorrow?
Yes.
I say jokingly.
100%. It would be, that border would be sealed up as tight as you could possibly. There'd be a fucking moat with alligators in it. if they were voting.
That's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I think historically speaking, they're pretty used to, we're going to get the majority of that vote. Yeah. And there's not really a downside besides obviously the humanitarian crisis. But when it comes down to it, like, I don't think these people have proven to me that they give a shit. I don't think they've proven. They quite literally, Trump, you know, implementing remain in Mexico, getting rid of catch and release, saying if you send your unaccompanied child here, they will not be let in. So don't freaking do it.
Yeah.
Because one, it's incredibly dangerous, and you have to be like insane to do it. Do not encourage people to do this. Well, first thing that Biden does, you know, end construction or at least pause, but more event, end construction of the wall. Where I was, it was completely open. You could literally walk across our border like you could walk across your living room. Mm-hmm. It's just completely open. There's just, you can actually see the brand new wall. And then there's thousands of pounds of steel just sitting next to it that are ready to be built, already paid for. So ending the building of the wall, reinstating catch and release and getting rid of the remain in Mexico policy. So now you're basically just saying, come on in.
Yeah,
come on. We have an open border policy. It's really not much different than an open border policy.
Do you have photos of this? Because thus far in the media, I saw one. It was blurry of the kids in cages that has recently come out in the last, I don't know, 72 hours. But other than that, I've seen nothing from the media down there. Did you get photos and videos of everything that you saw when you were there?
Okay, so I wasn't one of the people that went to the facilities just because I was working on other things, but I got a lot of footage of like caravans, 60 plus people, which is considered a small caravan, by the way, when it comes to, like, groups of illegal immigrants crossing the U.S. Usually it was like 5 to 10 that would pop out of the bushes every like 15 minutes, especially at night. And I got video of all of that. I filmed everything. I actually even filmed where you can, where it shows you where the wall was, the construction of the wall was paused. So I got drone shot footage of that. My buddy Eric helped me with that. And we really showed, you know, people what it looks like down there, how easy it is to cross this border and how easy it is to get across. And basically what you're telling them, you're telling cartels, okay, well, yeah, we don't take you guys, or sorry, yeah, we don't take you guys seriously. Business is booming. Cool. Keep it booming. Go for it. We'll actually make your jobs easier. Don't worry.
Right.
James, you've been on the show before. We've got some sponsors. Pay for this whole shit wagon to be on the air. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. 30% off everything in the entire store with the promo code drinkingbros. That is sheets. That is mattresses, pillows, adjustable bases, covers, you name it. Everything is 30% off at Drinkin' Bros. Whoa, I'm gonna plug the merch store, drinkinbros.com. I can do that as well if you need me to. But at ghostbed.com/drinkinbros, you can actually get bedding products. We do not have those at our merch store yet, but man, could you imagine if we did? Go to ghostbed.com/drinkinbros today. 30% off promo code drinkinbros at checkout. And right now, if you buy a mattress and post a little pic of yourself or your lady on the ghost bed and write a short testimonial on Instagram about how much you love it and tag drinkinbros and ghost bed on there, congratulations. They're going to send you 2 free pillows, and I can promise you the pillows are just as great as the mattress. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkinbros today, where, as always, they got that 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest there, so you can couple all of the deals together with that and pay as you go for 36 months. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkinbros today. Last but not least, you're probably listening to this show on a pair of Raycon headphones from buyraycon.com/drinkinbros, where you get 15% off your entire Raycon order. So feel free to grab a pair and a spare pair if you want, while the deal is going on. Love these headphones. Look, these guys have been with us for 1.5 years. They just keep developing better and better technology for these headphones. Right now, the wireless is, in my opinion, best in the biz. Put them in the box, charge them up. You're getting about 6 hours there. You see everybody wearing these in airports and everything else, and they're the best. I love Raycon headphones. I've owned these now for 1.5 years, and they just keep bumping up the quality. Whether you're catching up on your favorite podcasts like us or anything else on our network, binging an audiobook, working out, get yourself a pair of Raycons in your ears. They can make all the difference. No dangling wires or stems or any other crap. Just a good old fashioned comfy wireless headphone that's pops in your ear, and it's good for any size. No matter what size hole you have in your head, they got a bunch of those rubber pieces that allow you to have any size ear hole you want, and then you can pop them in. I think they come with like 10 like rubber ear pieces for all these things. Battery life, 6 hours. You can go for a while. Go to Raycon right now. Raycon's offering 15% off all their products for our listeners. All you got to do is go to buyraycon.com/drinkinbros. That's it. You'll get 15% off your entire Raycon order. Again, feel free to grab a pair and a spare pair. That's 15% off at buyraycon.com/drinkinbros. That's buyraycon.com/drinkinbros.
With this footage, are you putting it up on your YouTube channel? I know you have a pretty decent following on YouTube. It's youtube.com/James Klug. Where is that video going, by the way?
So a lot of that footage was I tweeted it out, put it on Instagram, but I am creating I started a vlog, and vlogs for, you know, everyone, it's the thing where you go out there and you look like the biggest jackass in the world filming yourself talking about stuff. But the footage is really useful. I have like the first political vlog on YouTube, or at least the only right now. Yeah. And I show people kind of behind the scenes what's going on. So I did a vlog of my trip to the border. I'll be posting just to show people really how it is down there, and people will get a really good idea of kind of what's going on. So,
okay. So let's get back on track here. People are coming across the border, getting caught and then released, which is the current policy, right? And from what you said to me the other day, they're not being given a court date or anything like that. They're just being released. And I'm not sure what the plan is.
I'm sure some of them are, but many of them aren't. They're too overflowed. They don't have time. They don't have time to do the court dates.
Even if they are given a court date, they're not showing up for the most part because they know what's going to happen. So no retainer. No bail, no bond, nothing like that. And I'm not sure how the government intends on contacting them after the fact. It's not like they've got fucking iPhones or addresses. But anyways, the next step in that is to get the money from whomever is giving it out and then jump on a plane. How the fuck is TSA allowing these people to fly without identification?
Yeah.
That's what I haven't figured out yet. I honestly have no clue. I think they're getting some sort of that's where the government's getting involved is they might even be paying for their flights. I don't know. And for some reason, people aren't really talking about it. They won't answer these questions. I'm sure we'll find out soon. But as of right now, I've had personally, and I'm just speaking for myself because this is just what I've been working on. I've been having trouble figuring that out. I think that obviously the government gives them some sort of pass to, yep, you're an illegal immigrant, you can go to LA wherever, and you can see on these envelopes it's different city. I mean, there, a lot of them are going to places in Texas, a lot of them go to Dallas or LA or New York or whatever.
Yeah, because I'm on your Twitter right now. Bob, are we able to pull up any of the pictures or anything off of his Twitter and put it up on screen? Go to James Klug on Twitter here, because I think these pictures will be helpful. Not this one. Go back to his main feed real quick. Yes. So this one right here. You can clearly put that up on full screen. You can clearly see this envelope. It's got a number on it, 3590. Please help me. I do not speak English. What plane do I need to take?
Yeah.
Thank you for your help. It's a manila envelope, the same as you would get for any child who's entering school and things like that.
It's like a welcome packet.
Yeah, like a welcome packet. The next one, scroll to the next one here. It's got actual flights here. The first one says United. Boy, I don't want to say it is an A, and possibly United Airlines. I'm going to say possibly because I can't make out what the rest of the letters are underneath their hand.
Well, look, to be clear,
McAllen, 5:01 p.m., yeah. Houston, 6:17, Houston to Newark, New Jersey.
7:40 to 12:07 a.m.
Yeah. So they're going everywhere.
To be clear on this, the airlines wouldn't check their ID unless they knew for a fact they were not Americans, right? And in Southern Texas, getting on a plane, not being able to speak English, not that big a deal, frankly. It happens quite a bit. So the airline wouldn't be involved in this. It would be TSA. The only people that can make this happen is TSA. And the only time anybody fucking – the other part of it is – the only time, and FAA would have to also be involved, actually, because the only time that somebody doesn't get their ID checked when they go through the gate or their passport checked is when they're registered as an American citizen, right? So when the ticket was purchased, it was purchased for somebody that was presumably an American citizen. Otherwise, the airlines would have to ask for a passport. You understand?
For sure.
Yes.
That's how that works.
Because, look, I've flown multiple times throughout COVID, and I always get ID'd. One time my ID was passed the thing because of COVID and I couldn't go to the DMV, and they were like, do you have any other form of identification?
Yeah.
How do you get through security with this? And, you know, the other portion of this is looking at your other pictures here on your Twitter feed here. I noticed a lot of these flights are arriving after midnight. Mm. That's when things are really lax, because I take a lot of these late night flights, and there's only a handful of us that get off, you know, in these airports, and it's mostly closed, so you can't go into shops or anything else. And you also can't disrupt people waiting for planes because this is typically the last flight of the night before they shut down the airport. So the timing makes sense. But how are they getting through security is what I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we're I don't have the answer, but I think that's kind of where the government is involved. I mean, the government is absolutely there in some way. They're allowing these people to pretty much pick where they want to go, say that they have family somewhere, and get them a flight directly. Also, you mentioned the evening. Usually every single person that I've talked to that's left McAllen in the past couple of days has pretty much said, yeah, my flight was roughly 80 to 90% illegal immigrants, and they all left around, you know, from 3 to 5 p.m., well, which is pretty insane. That's a flight filled with 80 to 90%.
And with COVID, you're wearing masks. You don't know anybody who's on these goddamn things at all. And it's, you know, there's not a lot of conversation on any of these flights because everybody's wearing a mask.
Yeah.
If you were going to do it, now would be the time to do it, because when COVID ends and you look around and there's, you know, 90% of the plane is filled with immigrants, you're going to say something.
Well, here's what we'll do. So,
and I'm not profiling here.
No, me neither. Me neither. Absolutely.
No, what I'm saying is they all have these envelopes. Every single one. They all walk around the envelope.
Do we have more images?
It right here.
Yes. So we have more images. Bob, bring up the ones of the cages there.
Oh, there's a different one.
Well, right. There's another. Yeah. If you scroll back,
another one.
All of them have these packets here.
That's the same one from before.
Yeah, with the same flights on them. But scroll down a little bit, Bob. Past that. There you go. Right there. Who took these photos here? It's got the Daily Caller on it. Are these current? Is this what's actually going on inside these camps?
That's going to be George Ventura, who it says in the caption.
It's Representatives Babin and Jackson.
Yeah, so they took those. They got those photos. So that's from the facility down in McAllen.
And that's current. McAllen.
That's current. That's current. That was this week. That was
2 days
ago. What day is it today?
Okay.
Yeah.
Scott, this week. Yeah, you can go to the next one. And then this one appears to have the children in it. How are people not outraged by this, and how is the media not picking up any of these photos? I'll tell you this.
Which one are we looking at?
The children here that are inside this.
Inside like the circle thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you this. It should piss you off no matter what you believe politically.
Yes,
if it doesn't,
yes,
then you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Let's just be real about that. The other thing is, with all this, If you're a member of TSA or any kind of airport security or some other government agency and you're allowing this to happen, you're a piece of shit. If you're seeing it happen and you don't feel like you can do anything, you can fucking tell me and we'll put it out there. Get me some evidence that this is happening, because it really seems like it is, right? Mm-hmm. Get me some fucking evidence that people are being skirted through security and sent off randomly throughout the goddamn country with no ID and no fucking plan, right? If you work for one of the airlines and you're seeing weird shit, send me pictures, send me video, whatever you got. You can send it to you can go to fucking
Dan Holloway.
Don't send it to my social media because that shit gets monitored all the time.
Oh, it does.
You can send it to you can go to our website. It's drinkingbros.com/justice. And if you see some fucked up shit like that, please send it to us, and we will expose the fuck out of these people. Because this is not. By the way, immigration is not a partisan issue. It shouldn't be. Why would it be? It's like education. Why would education be a partisan issue?
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. People are trying to come in that don't fucking belong here, right? But that's step one. Step two is why, right? Oh, it sucks there, so we got to fucking do something, and we have to decide what to do, but it's not a partisan issue.
No, right? Left or right, you should be outraged by this.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, I think the most frustrating thing for me is, like, I talk to people I disagree with all the time, and rarely do I get, never do I get actually, like, you know, pissed off. And going down here and filming this last 5 days that I was down at the southern border, this is something that actually, for the whole crew, it's just, we're seeing it. I witnessed hundreds of unaccompanied children showing up. Just no parents. CBP agents are like, yep, all those kids are by themselves. I witnessed hundreds, if not thousands, of you know, illegal immigrants crossing the United States. And one of the main things is, you know, last, let's say 2020, February, there was around, 40,000 apprehensions at the southern border. Last January, February, March, there was 33,000 roughly. Okay. Last month, we were looking at over 100,000 this month. We're expecting right around 150,000 apprehensions. This is the part that's most frustrating about all of this is it was completely preventable. What we were doing was working. Getting rid of catch and release was working. Implementing Remain in Mexico was working. And it's not like, oh, I just don't want a bunch of people, like a bunch of illegals in the U.S. Like it's not just that, even though that's a totally reasonable argument. It's again, it's the environment that it creates. These people are sending unaccompanied minors. These unaccompanied minors get kidnapped. They get raped. They get sexually abused. They get physically abused. Mm-hmm. It's really horrifying stuff. And the last thing we want to do is be feeding these cartels even more of it.
Yeah, back on that number, it's 3250 per person. Yeah, I'm looking at my notes. Yeah,
3250. That's what I saw.
So what? And now it's even so. We're backtracking on this problem as it started. Mexicans, particularly in North Central Mexico, fleeing cartels started to come here a while back, right? I mean, we've always had Mexican seasonal labor. That's where Cesar Chavez came from and unionized and blah blah blah. But it's become a reaction to fear and poverty more so over the last 20 years or so. Right, started with Mexico, particularly that area, then some of the bigger cities. Then it became Guatemalans, and then we got the lovely MS-13 from all that bullshit flowing around all over Southern California.
Yeah,
and now fucking Honduran immigrants are flooding into Guatemala to eventually get to Mexico, to eventually get to the United States, right?
Yeah.
So it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse as things go on. And anytime you, if people think, if they are conditioned to believe that there's a better chance for their child to survive if they put them through this crazy fucked up process than it is to get murdered there or whatever the fucking, whatever they think might be going on there, right? If it's real or perceived, they're absolutely going to do it. People, by and large, are going to err on the side of trying to protect their children and their lineage. Right. And if you give them the incentive, then they're going to fucking do it, even if it's a risk. And we have no tolerance for that risk. We have no tolerance for watching children get abused and dying. We have no tolerance for it. They know that. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like basically what they're doing is they're holding their baby and they're staring us right in the eyes. Mm-hmm. Right. And they're like, is this motherfucker going to catch it if I throw it?
Yeah.
And we're saying yes.
Yeah.
So they throw their fucking baby and maybe we catch it. Maybe we don't. Because we've only got this one set of arms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's fucked up. It cannot continue like this. It's not humanitarian.
Yeah, it's really, really well said.
It's not humanitarian to continue to allow this shit to happen. Like, in what way is it humanitarian for the Biden administration and leftists in general to tell Latin America that if you send your people here, they got a decent chance of making it because we're fucking weak? That's not humanitarian because thousands of people die. People get raped. I mean, these aren't fucking, it's not Uber picking these motherfuckers up.
You know? Yeah.
It is drug cartels. God damn it. What do you think they're going to do? Like he said, if somebody's got that band on that says they're paid for already and they already got that money and this little kid starts making noise, they're going to fucking throw it in the Rio Grande. And that's what they did, as a matter of fact. And a fucking CBP guy had to jump in and save it. You know what I mean? These people
there's a lot
evil.
They miss too. There's a lot they miss. CBP agents or I know that one was the one that had the story about it. I forgot what it was. Texas Ranger. But like, I mean, this happens all the time.
Oh, it was the Ranger.
These people would rather not be. They would rather not get caught, so they don't mind tossing a kid in the water if it's an inconvenience, or tossing a kid over a wall because it's safer for them. Because they look at these human beings. They look at them as a product. They look at them as a drug. It's a business. And business is booming right now because of the Biden administration. It's frustrating. It's infuriating is what it is.
It's $14 million a day. That's how much they're making right now. The cartels are making $14 million a day to move these people around.
I'm looking at the rest of your Instagram here, James, and I'm just scrolling down here. Bob, bring up a video on March 28th. I'm sorry, not Instagram, Twitter.
Oh, you got me.
Yeah, Twitter. Scroll down to March 28th, the video he shot next to the border here. Keep going. There you go. So what we're showing here, James, I don't know if you can see it, is the wall and the unfinished wall. Are you saying that people can just walk right through that? It's a drone shot here of what you have. Is one side Mexico and the other side is the United States? Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah. So the sign, I'm pulling it up right here. So
sure.
I was there, so I can tell you. So basically what it is, yeah, it right after the wall is not just Mexico, mm-hmm. but shortly after it's Mexico right there. So yeah, I mean, as soon as you get through those woods and stuff, you're able to cross into the United States by, you can skip if you want. I don't care what you do. You can get across that wall that does not exist with ease. Mm.
Okay. And the rest of those trucks that were in that shot that were lined up, were those trucks that were attempting to build the rest of it? And now that, you know, it's been terminated, they're just kind of left there.
That's exactly what it is.
Oh, is it really?
We showed up and there's construction workers there that are actually, the project's paid for. So they're just kind of hanging out, waiting for word that they can continue. I even talked to a handful of them. They're still just, they're hanging out. They're ready to go. There's thousands of pounds of steel, you know, steel wall that are just, you can kind of see them stacked next to those trucks. That's the wall just sitting there hanging out. It's ready to be built.
Yeah, and I'm scrolling through your Twitter here. I mean, because you have endless pictures of all of this. I mean, there's more packets with American Airlines flights on here. Dallas to Boston, Dallas to Columbus, Ohio. Man.
Yeah, you guys, I had the huge pleasure of being joined by Mark Morgan. Mm. He's the former acting commissioner of the CBP.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Also, Tom Homan, who was the former acting director of ICE.
Yeah, I've talked to him. I don't know before, if
you
guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a beast. I don't know if you guys remember that AOC video with him.
Yeah,
but
he's not one to be trifled with.
No. But they joined us one night. They were out there. Man, respect to those guys because they're out there with us at like 1 a.m. or something, which I was staying up till like 5 each night. But still, like 1 a.m., that's pretty impressive. And they were out there with us. And these guys are the experts of this stuff.
Yeah.
And I interviewed Mark Morgan. We were kind of looking at this big group, maybe 30 or so. I think it was all women and children. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, every single one of those are going to be let into the United States.
Well,
every single one.
Who are Mark and Homan working for now? Like, are they just out there trying to help? Or are they working for somebody?
I don't exactly know what they're doing exactly, like their full-time thing. I don't know what it is right now. Mm-hmm. I know that they both do a lot of media. I know Mark is working with Newsmax a lot. I know Tom is working with Fox a lot. Mm. I think a big thing is just kind of spreading awareness and shedding light on this situation with their expertise. But I mean, I asked him what he thought about this, and he was livid because I asked Mark what he thought about all this going on. He was livid because, you know, they worked hard with CBP to come up with the best solution to discourage families, discourage people from making that dangerous journey.
Right.
From Central America to the United States border. They worked very hard with Border Patrol on that to make sure that there, you know, you're never going to eliminate it. It's not going to happen. That's not a reality, but we can reduce it. And I'll settle for reducing these numbers all day. And he was just livid. I had a short interview with him, and he was just absolutely livid.
I would imagine so.
And then all these Border Patrol agents, man, their hands are tied as well. We've had numerous ones on the show to talk about this issue over the years, and it's one thing after another, and then you come into a guy like Brugman, you know, and it's if you do something wrong or you have the fear of doing something wrong, then you could be sued and then prosecuted and all this other stuff. Let me ask you, why do you do this? Are you funded by somebody, or are you just doing this to shed light on what's going on in the world?
I mean, I do it. I'll answer the second question first, basically. Pretty much, I do this because I saw where the left was going in this country. I saw where how far left they are going. I saw the power in the media. And, you know, I actually left a job that was pretty comfy to basically be broke and focus on YouTube, focus on getting this information out there, whether it be a gun debate or whether it be immigration debate, combating this. Basically, it's just a never ending list of craziness going on when it comes to what the left comes up with every single day in this country. And I just figured I wanted to combat it. So pretty much dropped everything, focused on YouTube, focused on Instagram, focused on Twitter, getting this information out there. That's why I go to riots, because none of the other media, you're not going to see CNN running in there, you know, filming people looting, rioting, burning down a building. You're not going to see them doing that. And when they do, what do they say? Oh, it's fiery, but mostly peaceful. Yeah, you guys are a joke. And you know, I think that's why you are seeing a handful of people. It's not many, because I'm not going to tell you it's easy to stay up at till 5 a.m. and wake up at 10, you know, to do news hits. Mm-hmm. Like filming all of this going on, it's pretty depressing, but it's important work. And I you know, personally, I find more purpose in my work now than I ever have in my life. Now, as for funding, right now, pretty much fully self-funded, but you know, people donate, sponsor the videos, mm-hmm. people do all that stuff. And I will be joining probably a network here shortly, just to keep this going, take it to the next level. Yeah. And keep doing what I want to do.
Yeah, because
keep covering what the important stuff that I want to cover, you know.
You're one of those guys who is always constantly in it. You know, we've followed your career ever since the last time you were on the show, and no matter what it is, you're there. No one really else is. And if you don't know about a guy like you, I've never seen this footage before. I would never get to see anything like this on the news or anything that I follow on a daily basis, which is a lot. I mean, I record, you know, upwards of 125 shows a month out of this, and I try to do my research on all of it. I have not seen any of the footage like you have shown today, which is pretty shocking. But I would also imagine that it's extremely dangerous. Did you run into anything at the border when you went down there to shoot this shit? Like, were people trying to throw you out of there or get you arrested or anything?
We only not really. In La Jolla, the officers are pretty strict when it comes to, because it's a tough area. Mm-hmm. So they'll pull you over for just about everything. And I had a taillight out on my rental car, and that ended up going over really poorly for me. That's kind of a random funny story. But like, as for anything threatening, no. But you would be right to suggest, yeah, it's not a safe thing to do. If you run into the wrong guy, I just so happen to be around the people that are turning themselves into CBP agents, which maybe we can touch on in a sec, because that's really interesting. But if you run into one of the people that don't want to get caught, maybe a human smuggler, whatever it is, yeah, I mean, you could be in a lot of trouble. And so, yeah, it's not safe. I don't recommend people, if you're not experienced with this type of stuff, or you know, a young woman or something like that. Mm. You know, it's not safe, but it is important. And that's kind of what I was touching on just a second ago. You know, this work for me, and I definitely encourage people to get involved in street reporting and all that stuff. I always encourage people to get involved, because it is important work. And that's great that you're finally seeing this footage right now. But, you know, this needs to be stuff that Americans are seeing, all Americans are seeing, because the media, it's an activist. We have an activist media. Mm-hmm. They will choose to completely ignore an absolute crisis at our southern border because it is politically convenient. Think about how disgusting that is.
Anything that is politically convenient,
it's just as disgusting as Ronald Reagan ignoring AIDS, frankly.
Yeah.
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. And you have to hold people accountable no matter what you fucking think. Right?
Left or right? Yeah, like, if it's
doesn't matter.
Wrong is you wrong. Know, it's pretty easy to call it out. Wrong is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're in a big fucking pickle right now, and I only say that because I just watched The Sandlot, and they say that phrase 30 goddamn times in the movie.
They were in a pickle. When that dog had that baseball, I was frightened for my life.
Well, you were 40 years old at the time when that movie came out, I'm pretty sure.
Three. A baby. I just saw it about a month ago.
I mean, it's we're in a big pickle. People can't divorce themselves from partisanship at this point.
I would give it all up if I could just have honest news back, and that's really all I want. It's just honest news back, not trying to question every single fucking thing I read and see on television, whether it's true or false, or what the actual intentions are behind it.
There's a couple of organizations that still do that. I mean, it's more so it's people like him independently doing it.
Yeah,
but there are a couple of organizations. Scriber's one of them. They do pretty well. You know, Scarborough does great. Staying. They're like what the Associated Press should be, essentially, right?
Yeah.
But the Associated Press totally are a bunch of cunts, frankly.
Yeah.
We on our fake news show today, I detailed how the Associated Press helped overturn the election for Rutherford B. Hayes and stop deconstruction and continue Jim Crow. They're evil people since the very beginning. None of this shit's new. We all think that this fucking media bias stuff and the wild bullshit that goes on is new. It's not new. It's been going on forever.
I'm not saying it's new. I'm just saying it's getting worse.
It's not getting worse. It's getting worse again. Right? It's going back to the cycle of where it's the worst it can be. And now we just have evidence of it. That's the only difference is we have evidence now.
I think the only way I think in the ways it's getting worse is that it's not just media now. It's media plus tech plus all these corporations that control every aspect of your life.
Right.
So it's a lot more than just the media. It's right. Kind of everything. And like you guys, I don't want to circle back too far, but
careful,
I did want to mention.
Jen. Careful,
the,
whoa, Jen. We don't circle back
yeah,
here.
Yeah, Jen. We don't do that here.
I can't say that anymore.
Put a red wig and go to the White House.
Doesn't it suck that she ruined that phrase for everybody?
Well,
she
not really.
Ruined it.
Hollywood
she ruined,
ruined
it
too. Like Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no shit.
I wish that woman the best, but she's I don't know how long she's gonna last. She's not doing that job super well. But anyways, I was saying as for the the Capitol siege, the whatever you want to call it. Capital riot, whatever. For me, I do a lot of commentary, right? I do a lot of commentary, but when it comes to reporting, it kind of feels weird to put a twist on something that's not true.
Yeah.
It's dirty. It's dirty. And I covered the Capitol riot. I had a lot of Democrats reaching out to me that were like, James, that footage was crazy. Like, and I'm not patting myself on the shoulder. What I'm saying is here is, you know, a lot of these independent journalists and stuff, they do a good job, and it's important to do a good job on like the big things left and right. So Capitol riot, I did that. Media talked about it. They still talk about it to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Border crisis. I can't talk right now. Yeah. Border crisis. I did that. Media's completely. It's like they have horse blinders on. It's insane. I didn't see anyone down there like getting in the thick of it, filming these groups. We didn't see anyone down there. We were down there for like 4 or 5 nights.
Yeah,
and it's crazy to see what they pick and choose to hyper focus on, and not just hyper focus on, but obsess over. They still talk about the Capitol riot like almost every day.
I look at your Twitter, and it seems like you're the only person there, and it's just kind of like you're on your own Hollywood shoot. And I'm like, where the fuck is everybody else covering this?
Yeah, well, for sure. Have you? I don't remember if we've had. I think we had this con. And close your ears, because I'm obviously about to talk about the Master Switch, right? You gotta.
Oh,
I'm pretty
boy.
Sure
and
I
the
sent
Art
you.
Art of Stealing by Ricky Henderson.
Did not
slide head first in the life.
I sent you the Master Switch, right? Or the
Are you guys buddies? Were you fraternity brothers or something?
No, we've never even met in person.
No, Tim
actually.
Wu. Tim Wu.
Oh no, I don't even know who he is.
God, he loves this fucking guy.
I couldn't.
There's like two people who've read this book.
No,
Dan
this,
and Tim's dad.
This is one of the most important books ever written.
I understand. I would just, yeah.
It is.
I don't know what we're talking about right
here,
now.
Yeah.
It's called there's a funny. Book called The Master Switch by a guy named Tim Wu, and it details how from the very beginning of human history, but particularly here in America, there's been not conspiracy is not the right word, but government and industry has worked together to box out the little guy, right? And to also fucking create monopolies. And so the government can have control over things. Ma Bell is a good example of that. They stopped the internet as we know it today would have happened somewhere around the 1960s if they had not gotten involved.
Yeah,
that
and
is
the Beastie Boys talked about it. Ma Bell got the ill communication.
So. No, that's not the same thing. But also this thing that I'm talking about with Rutherford Hayes, the AP and Western Union got involved because they wanted troops out of the South enforcing shit so they could do what the fuck they wanted again, right? This has been going on since the very beginning of this country. And it's not going to stop, obviously. Like that's the problem with power, and our fucking forefathers realized that shit. They realized that the more power you get, the more power you want, and that is a fucking death spiral for any organization. They realized that we need to limit power and give people the ability to limit that power with force, right? If the fucking first plan doesn't work out. They were very smart in that way. And we are not executing on their plan very well.
Look, to me, going forward with this, James, I don't see a solution anytime soon.
Solution for what?
for the border crisis.
Yeah, I mean, like, how, what would that even look
nothing.
Like?
Nothing. I see nothing on the horizon to solve this whatsoever.
Re-implement Trump's policies. But
that's good
step,
luck.
That's step one.
That's,
pipe
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to fly, and I'd like to be as jacked as Ryan Reynolds in Deadpool after whatever cycles he was on. That is not going to happen anytime soon. So what's an honest take here on when you think this will be solved, if it will be solved?
Okay, well, this is my thought. By the way, Deadpool's a great movie, but my thought on when it'll be solved, I think that the pressure is going to get so big, and I think it's going to get probably so out of control, and this is what they're expecting. We mentioned earlier in the show that heat's going to be cranking up. It's going to get more deadly. It's going to get more out of control. I know that there are estimates all over the place on X amount of unaccompanied minors showing up to the southern border, 25,000, right. Stuff like that. And every single Border Patrol agent that I've spoke with, every single sheriff that I spoke with down there, keep in mind, like, you know, they're not really supposed to speak with you. So let's just say I overheard them. But, you know, they're preparing for the absolute worst. And I think it might get too bad to where they can't ignore it. Mm-hmm. Because right now, what we have right now is just anybody and everyone can come in. And I think that rumor is spreading like wildfire among Central Americans.
Of course
it
is.
I think it's going to continue to get worse. And I think they might have to re-implement Remain in Mexico or something. I think they're going to have to do go back to a piece of what Trump had before, because I think it will get too bad.
Well, I mean, ultimately what they'll do is what has happened in the past. Anytime any good fucking strategy is taken out of place, they'll re-implement the phases one by one until the entire thing is reconstructed. That's how it's happened. I'm not going to go on a fucking rant about this one because I've been on enough rants today, but you can go back and research this and find multiple examples of this happening, right? With containment back in the day in the Cold War. Just go look at this shit. It's fucking stupid.
It would be, though, such a huge walk back for the Democrats at this point, because they ran on this. This is one of the big issues that they ran on to win the election was this. That I don't see it happening. I see a lot more silence from the media. And it's going to take dudes like you that actually go out and shoot footage and some of this to go viral. And it's got to be somebody you can trust. Like you seem like an honest dude. We haven't known each other that long, obviously. But I look at your footage. You don't seem to have a particular slant on one thing to say the same way as like a James O'Keefe, right? Where you're like, hey, man, how fucking heavily edited was this footage and everything else? I think it's going to take more people like you that go down there. And I think it's going to take somebody from the Democratic side to actually go down, like an AOC. Somebody that big to go down there and be like, all right, enough is enough. I went down there the first time with my white shirt on and pressed my hands against the cage and all that shit. I got to do this again to get some attention towards this.
Which, by the way, is super screwed up to leverage what was going on for political gain.
Yeah, well, to be fair, think about that for Candace Owens did the same thing.
Yeah.
Making memes and shit about it. It's a fucking serious situation, asshole.
It is. It is.
Like,
but
she, I mean, look, to be fair... you know, people make memes and shit. Yeah, we look at them and laugh. It's funny, whatever the fuck, because that's how we deal with fucked up shit. But if you're a public-facing figure like Candace Owens, who apparently likes to take politics seriously now all of a sudden, to put something like that out, she's just as culpable as fucking AOC is. Same goddamn human being. She just flipped sides because she knew that being token on the other side would fucking benefit her in the long run. She is full of shit, 100%, by the way.
I don't know her personally, so I can't speak on that. But where are you going next, James? It seems like you're always going someplace crazy. Was there any thought of you going to that Oregon bullshit where they stormed the Capitol there?
It's a good question. I think we're going to focus on some YouTube content and stuff like that. Because aside from reporting, and by the way, I really appreciate what you're saying about like the, you know, not noticing a bias in it. Because when it comes to reporting, I do feel weird. And it's like, I think everyone should about putting a twist on something. So I don't, like a normal person.
Yeah.
I say, hey, this is what this is. Here's the footage.
Yeah.
And when it comes to content stuff, obviously it's a little bit different. And, you know, I do consider myself to be a YouTube content creator as well, which is just one of my passions, just turns out to be also part of my job, which is great. And, I think we're going to be filming some YouTube videos. Sometimes we do funny political YouTube videos, stuff like that. So I think we're gonna do a little bit of that. I might go cover a little bit of the, you know, Antifa, a little bit of the things going on in Seattle, Portland still.
Well, what's going on? What is going on with that right now? What is going on with Antifa right now? I haven't heard from them in a while.
Oh yeah, they stormed the Capitol building up in Oregon.
Oh, I didn't really hear about that.
They've done a couple things. The most recent was there was like a drive with like a bunch of like conservatives that were driving their trucks and stuff, mm-hmm. and Antifa like basically met them at a corner and threw rocks and stuff into their windows, and that one guy came out with his gun and pulled it out. It's like all these people are a mess, but I think we'll go film a little bit of that. Mm. It's just Antifa doing little things, misbehaving here and there, and that's pretty annoying. But the biggest thing that's coming up is going to be the Chauvin trial, I'm actually a little bit worried for. Yes.
Yeah, that one's going to be nuts. I mean, a lot of stuff's happening since it started, actually, just weird stuff. For some reason, the prosecution, and keep in mind the prosecution in this case is trying to prosecute the police officer. That's what this is. So mm-hmm. it's not, like, anyways, I just wanted to make that clear. So they introduced the fact that he was on drugs all the time.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And I don't know why. I like, obviously, they want to try to control that narrative because they know what's coming up.
Yeah.
But I don't, man, if that was their plan, they did not execute it very well.
The other thing they did at the trial was they showed all of the footage yesterday, like every single camera they had. And the thought process behind that was, let's get this out of the way at the beginning of the trial. Get it out there so that that the defense can't surprise them when it's their turn. Hopefully people will forget about it, and then they can turn to that. My personal opinion on this is once they petitioned the Supreme Court up in Minnesota and they were able to get that other charge of murder, I think they're definitely going to get one, and that will probably appease the people. Now, obviously, it's up to a jury, and we don't know what's going to happen, but I'd have a hard time believing in this day and age that they're going to not do anything just based out of fear. No matter what their actual opinion is of the trial at this point. That's just a guess on my part. Because, man, that would be a fucking powder keg if they were acquitted all the way around.
I
don't have access to the footage. I'm not there. I'm not during the fucking trial or whatever. I have no idea what's going to happen. There, it's just purely speculation.
I can tell you right now what's going to happen. He's going to get acquitted on all the charges except for the lower charge. He's going to get convicted of that.
The murder one?
He's not going to get convicted of murder. Not
the second degree murder, the third degree murder?
The third degree, maybe.
But third degree murder is essentially
manslaughter, right?
Sorry, what you're saying?
Third degree murder is manslaughter. It's 5 years. Totally different charge, yes. Yeah. Completely different charge. Yeah. It's 5 years, and then you could probably be out in 3, to be honest.
But here's the thing: is they'll burn down the city for a third degree.
Yep.
That's what I think, too. Yes.
And that's why they charged him with second degree in the first place. What, about 2 weeks after the initial charge?
Well, they were pressured into it by the people there who were burning down the city.
And at the time, you can go back and watch the footage. Well, I was like, this is a huge fucking mistake.
Yes.
They bent to some short-term anger. By the time the trial actually happens, people will have forgotten about that bullshit, right? Mm-hmm. They bent to that short-term anger, and then they fucking gave him a charge that they cannot convict him on. There's no fucking way they're getting second-degree murder. Right. Not one chance.
Right.
Not one chance. Third degree was the right choice at the time, and that's what I said before they even indicted the guy. I was like, it's going to be third degree murder for X, Y, and Z reasons. And once they elevated it to second, like, fuck. It's like you're asking, to me, that seems like somebody that's trying to start shit. Or you're just so weak that shit gets started anyways. And that's a really good analog for the Biden administration and this immigration thing right now, to be honest. Projecting power is a good thing, right? It lets people know to stay the fuck away from you. And there's got to be a better way to do it than what Donald Trump did with Twitter. He was an asshole, frankly, right? And turned a lot of people off. But his instincts were correct. His instincts were correct. Alphas fucking rule, and people stay the fuck away. We need that. We just don't need it on fucking Twitter.
Yeah.
Or fucking talking shit to the press. Like, dude, just do your fucking job.
With this Chauvin thing, this case is moving at a decent clip. So are you heading up there soon?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll probably be up there. Maybe I'll be up there like a week early. Maybe I'll be up there early, ready to go, but or maybe a few days early or something. But it's coming up. I know a handful of reporters are going to be there. Probably shouldn't mention names, but like
you don't have to.
Yeah, we'll be.
What dates? Yeah, we'll be, when are they expecting this to end? Because it's we're shooting this on Thursday night, April 1st. What's your ballpark for when this will wrap up this trial?
I think they were thinking middle of the month.
Mm. Shit, so this is coming up. This is coming up quick.
Well, then there's going to be deliberation. I would expect this deliberation to take some time because of the complex nature of the case. One, and because there's two separate charges, it's probably going to be. If I had to guess, I would say a week and a half of deliberation. That's what I would say.
Yeah,
but you never really know. It depends on who the fucking jury foreman is and all that stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on. Like, how good of a leader is that person? Yeah. Are they able to fucking get everybody on board? If that's the case, but again, it's very difficult to unpack after they hear all that shit from. During the trial, they then get coached on what these crimes are, right? And this happens before as well, right?
Correct, yeah.
But they get coached on what does it mean to be guilty of third-degree or second-degree murder, right? And does that's supposed to be your linear fucking page. X, Y, Z, all right, is this X, Y, Z? If it is, then yes. If not, no, right? Mm-hmm. That's the case. So it's going to take some time.
One thing that worries me about a lot of this stuff is, public opinion kind of swaying what charges should be or whatever.
That's
and when it comes
problem.
Down to it, it's like the woke, it's like the woke mob is basically campaigning against, guilty or innocent until proven guilty. They're campaigning against this. Like it's like if they want it to be done, they want you to get death penalty. They would prefer no trial at this point. I mean, this is like kind of the logic that I'm seeing here is these people, it doesn't matter what the facts are. He's guilty of murder. It doesn't matter what the facts are like that. And if you go out, you talk to people about this, they will all say that. And it's pretty scary. Actually, it's pretty scary how much people do not care about the facts. They don't care about.
You see a video.
Yeah.
That's that strong and intense. And everybody's got obviously very strong, visceral feelings about seeing that video. Without listening to the facts or without seeing the rest of the video, because I was unaware that there was another 14 minutes worth of body cam footage where they were trying to get him in and out of the car, and then they talked to the guy at the store, and they said he seemed like he was on drugs, and we didn't know what happened. For me, I'm not there. I'm not on the jury, and I'm not watching this trial. So I don't know what happened that day, But those guys do, and it's a heavy burden.
I'm actually not worried about that at all. The system should work as it works. If the guy's guilty, he's guilty. Who gives a fuck, right?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't care. The outcome of this trial has no bearing on my life whatsoever. I want it to be accurate. That's all.
Right.
Right.
But sometimes they get it wrong because OJ's on a golf course right now looking for the real killers in Vegas, and sometimes they get it wrong.
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes they do get it wrong.
But it is the media's job to set an expectation to be realistic with what's going on. Instead, what the media has basically been saying is guilty, and then basically what that's going to do is as soon as something happens that's maybe slightly different, and I'm not saying he's going to get off completely. I don't know, but to not say, oh, there's a chance here, or this could happen, or this could happen, to not inform people. And then for them, because what will happen if he does get off on anything or whatever, people will be blindsided. They will not expect it. It's going to be the racist system. They're going to go out and they're going to riot instead of knowing the facts. Like it's not trying to be totally distracted here, but in sales, it's like you learn this tip where it's like you set the expectation of like an appointment or something that you're having with someone because it won't hit them and they're going to be like turned off. Like, what the hell is this? No, I was expecting that. Okay. Right. You inform me of that. Great. Same thing goes here, and I know that's kind of random, but
no, it's like, not. It's the same. It's the same thing in marketing. Actually, if somebody runs into an unexpected cost between the time they add to their cart to the time they check out, there's a 45% chance they're not going to buy that product. That's a huge. It's a preponderance. It's almost a fucking majority, right?
Yeah,
at that point,
for
so,
sure.
No, it makes total
and
sense.
So same thing goes with the media, though. It's like they can't, and they've done this a bunch of times. And I think that has largely contributed to a lot of riots because people don't understand. They think, oh, it's because of, whatever scapegoat there is. They think it's because of this. When, no, you just didn't really inform the people of what the options were here.
Right.
Yeah. James, we appreciate you being here. Now's the point in the show. We get to the Drinking Bro of the Week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to?
Drinking Bro of the Week too. That's
who helps you out with all this footage down there? I mean, that's That's pretty substantial. You had to have somebody down there doing this with you.
Well, I'll shout out someone that helps me with a lot on my channel and everything right now. His name's Neil Baker, helps me film a majority of my videos. Neil Baker. I would shout out multiple people, but Neil Baker, he's a huge help to my channel, largely responsible for filming most of my videos, everything like that. So shout out to Neil Baker.
Yeah. Yeah. Cheers. Cheers to Neil. And then obviously everybody can find you on YouTube.com/James Klug.
That's K-L-U-G.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. You're one of those. You have an umlaut over the U, right?
That's correct. Yeah. Long U. YouTube.com/James Klug. Also, do you guys mind if I plug your merch really quick? Just because I didn't get it in. You mind if I do that?
Yeah.
For you?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. So I'm not wearing it today just because I didn't get it in just yet. I know we tried to do this all super, super last minute, but I will be wearing the Defund Politicians t-shirt. I ordered it in black. It's going to be looking money. I decided to wear it.
Honestly,
so you guys
everybody's
make sure
buying
out.
Those
I've
shirts.
I've got a couple. It's one of the most popular things that's being sold by us right now, but I've been walking around. I have a couple of different colors in it, and I've just been just not really as an experiment. I just happened to be wearing the shirt, but I did pay attention and walking through to my dog park next to my house. And at least once every time I walk out in it, somebody's like, "Hey, nice shirt, man."
Yeah.
And I never know why they think that. That's a good thing, right? It's a good thing that I don't know if this is some fucking liberal dude that hates what government is doing or some conservative dude that hates what government is doing. You know what I mean?
Well, it's one of those shirts that is down the middle of like, hey, I hate politicians. I really don't care about anything else. So it's great. And is that your hat that you're wearing? I like that hat. Is that, do you have a merch store?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. JamesKlug.com/shop. I got I heard you guys mention something about fake news. I have like fake news merch that just says fake news on it.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. We host a show on Thursday. It's called Fake News. Yeah.
Yeah. Heard, okay, cool. That's awesome. And then, I have my merch. You can go there to support the channel, JamesKlug.com/shop. I'll send you guys over some gear as well.
I like the hat. Send me the hat, dude. I'll wear the hat on the show. I'm a big fan.
Will
I'm
do.
A big fan of yours. Usually when we see you, you're dirty as shit because you just came back from assignment somewhere.
Yeah.
Look at you. You're all cleaned up. You're ready to go. You might be on the blaze soon or something like that.
Yeah, he's got Elijah Schaefer DPing for him today.
When you showed up on screen today, I was like, it's a totally different person. Is that him or is it we get another guest? Like last time, you look like you were fucking homeless, but I think you were covering the Chaz event or something.
Something like that. After last time, I think it was at the federal courthouse in Oregon Portland, Oregon, where they were just burning the doors down and throwing fireworks at cops and all the crazy stuff. I recall that.
Yeah,
good times.
Proud of you, James. You clean up nice. We appreciate your time today, as always. And then, look, you have a standing invitation. Anytime you're working on something, pop on by. We love having you here on Drinking Bros. Follow James Klug. He's one of the only guys out there who's trying to bring you the actual news that is going on. And it's amazing the footage you're able to get from some of these events. For James Klug, D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. We are the Drinking Bros. Good night.